Hey, it's Jake. You're about to hear a free preview of something from Fogelnest Plus, the podcast platform and online streaming service run entirely by me, Jake Fogelnest. To get instant access to hundreds of episodes, visit www.jake.army and sign up at the tier of your choice on Patreon. Enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone. Recording and releasing this on March 5th, 2024 for our Patreon subscribers. It is your pal, Jake Fogelnest. We've got a lot to discuss this week. My daughter and wife are at the bookstore right now. My daughter, she read The Very Hungry Caterpillar. She read it so hard that the book fell apart. And The Very Hungry Caterpillar, I'll just say this real quick. It's a true story. It's a book that has evidence. Because I don't know if you remember The Very Hungry Caterpillar, but there are holes in the book. And that is solid evidence that the Very Hungry Caterpillar actually did eat through all of the things that The Very Hungry Caterpillar is alleged to have eaten through in the book. The book has fallen apart, so we're going to get a new one. Actually, that's coming from Amazon. We're going to the bookstore to support our local bookstore and get some new books, and so I could have a moment to chat with you. But The Very Hungry Caterpillar, it's true. That's a true story, because there's a, you know, one nice green leaf, and there's holes through the green leaf, and then there's the huge page with the ice cream crumb. I don't know if you've picked up the book in a while, but it's a true story. Because why would the holes be in the book if The Very Hungry Caterpillar did not, in fact, eat through all of the things to, spoiler alert, turn into a beautiful butterfly? We will be discussing another children's book later on in this program. But this is not a show about parenting or children. It is the most important news affairs program out there today. And on the program today, we will be discussing a woman by the name of Dora Hall. She has released over 20 albums. She released 100 singles between 1963 and 1978. You are probably wondering, who is Dora Hall? She took an unconventional path into show business, and I will tell you all about her because it's important that you know about Dora Hall. We will, Rachel Sweet's going to come up because it's been a while since we've discussed Rachel Sweet, and we've been doing the show since August of 2020. It is March of 2024. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you type in Rachel Sweet, you're going to see that she's a topic of conversation on this program quite a bit. I'm a fan. My wife is a fan. My daughter is a fan. And it's interesting. I was surprised at what I came across on YouTube. Every once in a while, I type Rachel Sweet into YouTube just to see if anything new has popped up. And I went down an interesting rabbit hole, and I'm going to share that with you. And just general conversation as we do every week on this program. So let's start the show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Broadcasting in stereo where available. We are in the month of March. It is the year 2024. I don't know when you're listening to this. I don't know if it's the week of March 5th, 2024, or if it's sometime in 2027. This is what was going on. This is what was going through my mind during the week of March 5th, 2024, and will forever serve as a document. We will be able to go back in history years from now and go, what was on Fogelnest's mind? And you'll know. And that's good. It's important for posterity. And it's important because, you know, I've often joked that I am an important cultural tastemaker. And there is a little bit of truth to that. There are times in my life where people have said to me, gosh, you know an awful lot about stuff, music, movies, pop culture. There are certainly those who know much more than I do. And I've been thinking about the quote from John Waters. Let me not butcher it. I want to get it correct. So I will... I was looking at this yesterday. It starts here. One must remember that there is such a thing as good bad taste and bad bad taste. To understand bad taste, one must have very good taste. That is the quote about good bad taste and bad bad taste as attributed to John Waters, who is a lifelong hero and champion of myself. So I bring this up in regards to me being a tastemaker because there have been times in my career, which we are 30 years in on now, it's true, I've been doing this in some form or another for 30 years. And with that, even from the earliest incarnation of me working in the entertainment industry, people have said, you know, I turn to Jake Fogelnest for good reference points. And I take a bit of pride in that I can provide people with the good stuff, even if the good stuff is the bad stuff. If I bring you the bad stuff, it's the good bad stuff. Does that make sense? And I think that is one of my strengths. One of the things that sets me apart from any other person that's got a microphone and some podcast software is my track record. And it was just yesterday that I did a deep dive on a woman I want to talk to you about now, Dora Hall. Dora Hall, as I said, between 1963 and 1978, she put out a lot of records. I'm going to show you right now. This is her Discogs. You'll see. The scroll is endless. This is an endless scroll through many different records, mostly singles, but a couple of albums that Dora Hall put out. Now, who the heck is Dora Hall? With somebody with such a deep discography, you would think this would be a household name. The interesting thing about Dora is that her entertainment career, though it is claimed that she was involved in vaudeville and was hitting the stage at 10 years old, it came later in life. And it was an unconventional path because Dora Hall was not signed to a major record label. Dora Hall was not famous for being on network television. Dora Hall got in the door of show business because of her devoted husband. And that gentleman was a guy by the name of Leo Halsman. Leo Halsman was the person who invented the solo cup. Used to work at Dixie Cup, okay? Back in the 40s, he worked at Dixie Cup. But by the 60s, he had invented solo cups, the plastic cup that we all know so well, the red solo cup and other colors as well. And this made Leo Halsman a billionaire. Think about like put yourself in the position of, say you're going on Shark Tank, right? Say you're going on Shark Tank, and it is decades ago. It's picture a world where there is Shark Tank, but the solo cup, the plastic cup, has not really been invented or perfected yet. And you go and you say to Mark and Lori and Mr. Wonderful, here's the solo cup. It's a plastic cup. And yeah, I've got a patent on it. The sharks are going to give you a deal. You're going to get a deal on Shark Tank. So that's what happened with Leo Hulsman. He invented the solo cup. And that put him in a position of having a crazy amount of money. We're talking, I want to buy Twitter and ruin it money. But that is not what Leo Hulsman did. And it's not because there wasn't a thing called social media. This guy was like the most devoted and cool husband ever. His wife, Dora Hall, wanted to be a singer, wanted to be in show business. And the traditional routes of doing things, there were only three television networks. There were only so many major labels. And Dora was on the older side of the spectrum for being a pop vocalist. But his wife, Leo's wife, Dora, wanted to sing. And here's what Leo did. He financed her recording career. And more than that, he distributed. So he started a record label. Anybody can start a record label, press up some records. This guy was taking a sort of the route of a Minor Threat or a Black Flag, but years earlier, anybody could press up records and sell them. But the problem is distribution. How do you get your records in the stores? Well, who needs to get your records in the stores if you have another product in the stores, all the stores, and that product is solo cups? So what Leo did was he would sell a pack of solo cups, and with those solo cups, you would get a free 45 single. So with that, so if you bought like a package of solo cups, I guess this is in the 60s, 70s, you'd get a 45. And that 45 would be Dora Hall singing a popular song. And I know what you're thinking. Why would all the major labels pass on Dora Hall if she was talented? What's going on? You're going to be surprised. She is not terrible. She's got a decent singing voice. And the production on her records is quite good. In fact, she worked with people like Jack Nietzsche. And I just think that if you are a disposable cup magnet and your wife wants to make records and be in show business, and you've got the means and you've got the distribution, why not? And I think it's a beautiful love story. And they were married and forever. They died within years of each other in the late 1980s. It's a beautiful love story. And they had kids and grandchildren. And after they had kids and grandchildren, after all that, Dora Hall said, you know what? You know what, Leo? I want to sing. and Leo made it happen. That is such a beautiful story. So let's listen to Dora Hall. This is her covering a song I think you might know. It's a song that's also been covered by Devo. It's been covered by Otis Redding. But nobody's covered it quite like Dora Hall. By the Rolling Stones, Dora Hall's interpretation of Satisfaction.
Supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no, 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 no. Hey, 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 that's what I say. I can't get no satisfaction.
Dora Hall. And there are hundreds of singles. And she even did a disco record. I have not gone on Discogs and purchased a Dora Hall record yet. There's too many to choose from, but they are out there. They are available. And it's all thanks to the guy who invented the solo cup. Good business to be in. The plastic cup business. I don't know if it's the most environmentally friendly business, but yeah, if you were to buy a pack of solo cups, you would get a free 45 by Dora Hall. Somebody needed to tell you about this if you didn't know already, and that someone is me, and I don't take that responsibility lightly. As I said earlier, My wife and daughter are right now taking a trip to the bookstore. Tallulah, my daughter, she's 13 months, and she loves books. And this makes me absolutely delighted and proud and thrilled because I love books, and it's good to love books. And my wife loves books. My whole family, we love books. We love books. She loves music. She loves records. She was playing with records earlier this week. You can go on my Instagram and see her grabbing a Jonah Louie 7-inch, and she was not holding it correctly, but she was learning. She's respectful of the records to the best of her abilities at 13 months. But, she has her favorite books. I mentioned The Very Hungry Caterpillar. She also likes a book called Jamberry. Jamberry is by Bruce Deegan. And I'm not here to talk to you about the brilliance of Jamberry or Bruce Deegan. But Tallulah likes the book quite a bit. We've read it I don't know how many times. That's the thing about kids. You read books over and over again. And they learn how to read. And that's great. In addition to going into a wonderful world of imagination, it's cool to learn how to read, even if you're very, very little. So Jamberry is sort of a family fave. And I do not know what happened, but my wife was on the couch. She was giddy. She was tired. She was feeling a bit whimsical. And she decided to use our Apple TV remote, and we were in the YouTube app, and she said, Jamberry, doing a search on YouTube for Jamberry. I don't know what she was looking for. Perhaps maybe somebody reading Jamberry, as people do on YouTube. And we will be talking about the things that people do on YouTube in more detail for something else later on in this program. But she said Jamberry into the Apple TV remote, which was amazing because I don't know how she found it. It's an easy joke, but it's right there. The Apple TV remote. I don't have the latest Apple TV remote, but they made it very small, very black, and very easy to fall between couch cushions and just blend into everything. Like, I don't know why they don't put a little chip in the Apple TV remote where you can, like, you can find my iPhone, find my Apple TV remote. That's what they need to do next, and have it go beep, 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 you know, that little chime, because the remote gets lost. Anyway, she typed Jamberry into YouTube, and I'm only going to play you a little bit of what we found. I assume she was looking for, somebody reading the book Jamberry, different than the way that we read it. That might have been funny and amusing to Tallulah and us as parents to see some dingbat read this, pretty popular children's book. It goes back to, I believe, the 70s or 80s. It's an older book. Somebody was reading it, maybe, but that's not what came up. What came up was this, and I will, I've given you enough context. You're not going to hear the whole thing, but this is a book. It's a children's book. It's a pretty well-known children's book. It's one our daughter likes, and if you type Jamberry into YouTube, this is the first thing that comes up. And I will share a little bit of it, and then I will give you more context as to what the hell you have just experienced. And we'll start with that now.
Jamberry. Story and pictures by Bruce Deegan. Pick me a blueberry,
hatberry, shoeberry, in my canoe.
for jam. Jamberry, 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 jam. Jamberry, 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 jam. Jamberry, 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 jam. Jamberry, jamberry, jam.
So we heard that and we're flabbergasted. Imagine you are, you know, very familiar with the children's book, and then all of a sudden somebody has turned it into a song. So I did some research, and I came across this, and I found it on eBay. I did not purchase it. It is the book Jamberry, and you can see that there is a cassette. And what happened was, in the early 1990s, the publishers of Jamberry decided to take the book, and they didn't just do Jamberry. They did other books like Goodnight Moon. And I guess they had, it's like, oh, kids like books, but you know what? Like, they like more cassette tapes. So what if we took a classic children's book and we had it turned into a song so they could read the book and listen to the song on their Walkman? And, you know, this is not a new concept. We all know about the book and record set where you hear the time. That's you hear the chime, rather, and you turn the page. That's as old as time. And it's a wonderful thing, the book and record set, the book and cassette. That we all know what that is. But they did something different here in turning it into a song. It's not like they're just reading the story. They got a couple of jokers who in my head, you've heard them now. I've got a picture of them in my head. And to me, they are definitely this married couple. And they have a limited studio setup. I picture what I'm picturing is, and you tell me if you disagree, I think it's 1990. And I think they have some sort of Casio keyboard, not a super cheap model, an upscale Casio model. And I think they've got a Tascam Porta Studio 424. They got a four track. And they have taken this book, turned it into a song, and were paid $750. And also perhaps maybe they would receive some royalties for each copy sold. I don't know, but I know this. You can tell from the songwriting and the production quality that some costs were cut, that perhaps this project was a experimental project. Let's try it and see if they sell. But they didn't pour a lot of love and care into the production of Jamberry, the book, as a song. One could even argue that Dora Hall's husband, the great solo cup magnate, Leo Halsman, that he... I mean, Jack Nietzsche did not produce the Jamberry song. Not at all. If the same, and I guess it's really about how much money you have to play with, or perhaps the publishers had all the money in the world, but just no taste. They had bad taste. I don't know. It sounds to me like they cut some corners on the production of the Jamberry song. They didn't go out to I don't know who the top songwriters are in that space. It's Carol King was not involved. Not even what's that guy, Raffi? I've never heard Raffi's music, but when I was a kid, there was a children's entertainer, Raffi, and I don't know what his deal is, and perhaps that's a story for another time. I can do some research. But it just sounds like some friends of friends who worked in the children's department of, I don't know if it's Random House or what, but some friends of friends, people in the children's publishing world, knew some people that had a Cassie, and they were like, oh, we'll do that. We'll bang it out in no time. And the results are what they are, and the product is what it is, but I just don't think they put their all into it. I kind of like it. I kind of like the song. Deb is irritated by it. She can't stand it. And our daughter is completely indifferent. I think she knows that, like, she's like, Dad, if you're going to get into outsider music and stuff, well, why don't we put on some Daniel Johnston? Dad, what is this? Because if you're thinking of, you know, forcing me into a Shags-like relationship with you later in life, that's not going to happen. The ambivalence that my 13-month-year-old daughter, Tallulah, and by the way, I don't like saying 13 months. It's like, I feel like she's a year old. She's a year old, and then she can be, I don't know, 16 months or 18 months, and then she's two, and then she's three, like 13 months. But the thing is that every day it's something new, and there's more words, and there's more stuff that she can do. So you kind of, you get into, I guess you get into it with, like, other kids. There's a kid in our building, and he's older. I think he's, like, two and a half, and with all due respect, you know, they've interacted a little bit, but I think that was a little bit more mature than, and I don't know if it's girls mature faster than boys or whatever. My daughter's a genius. She's above this outsider music bullshit that that I'm trying to put the Jamberry song into the category of. I didn't really get a chance to play her Dora Hall. Anyway, you know, for as well produced and as interesting as Dora Hall's music is, the people, and I'm sorry, I don't know their names. The people that made Jamberry, they can't hold a candle. But I don't think they had the resources that Dora Hall did. But even without the resources, you could tell that Dora Hall had entertainment in her bones. There's people who have, like, real entertainment in their bones. And then there's people who are friends with people who work in the children's book department of a publishing house and have a Casio. There's a hierarchy. And I'm not trying to be classist. I'm not saying you need a lot of money to create great art. In fact, you don't. You know, I'll invoke Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. Nebraska, Bruce Springsteen's album. He recorded some demos on a 4-track. And then it was like, okay, these are going to be the demos. And then they decided, Bruce decided, you know what? I think it was him and John Landau. They decided it's not going to get better than the demos. This is the record. The 4-track, the stuff you recorded alone, maybe we'll do some tweaks, make it sound as best as we can, but that's the record. So you can do a lot with a 4-track. You don't need to have full orchestration and a block of time at Abbey Road Studio 2 to make something great. Look, I'm proving it right now. I'm just here on the old computer with a mic, and I'm talking to you, and we're making one of the best podcasts in the history of the medium right now. The Jamberry people, it sounds very phoned in, but at the same time, like two people giving it their absolute all, if that makes sense. Like, phoned in by the publishing company. Like, yeah, we're not going to spend a lot of money on this experiment of taking the Jamberry book and seeing if kids want to buy it with a cassette. We've only got so much money. I don't know. Somebody embezzled some money somewhere. It didn't go into the production of that song. It certainly didn't. Dakota Johnson, I'll just say very quickly, I don't know anything about superhero movies. So this Madam Web film came out, did not do very well. But it seems that Dakota Johnson, I read a quote from her. She went on to call making her first superhero flick, this is her quote, a real learning experience. Which is Hollywood speak for I did not have fun making the superhero movie, and I'm not going to be doing it again. This Dakota Johnson, when she promotes things, she seems incapable of like lying, of like going on a talk show. I don't know, sitting down with Jimmy Fallon and being like, you know, hey, so was it really fun to, you know, be a superhero? She's like, she can't be like, yeah, it was fun, I had a good time, you should go see the movie. She's like, no, it was a drag, the movie's bad, my mom's Melody Griffith, my dad's Don Johnson. And I it's not an indictment on Dakota Johnson. I sort of find it refreshing. She's incapable of bullshitting people. And it's like she got in that thing with Ellen DeGeneres, where it's just she can't play the game of like doing an interview and being just like affable movie star. She can't do it. It's like she's just, it doesn't compute for her. I don't know. I find it refreshing. Now, one other thing. I mentioned that there was a YouTube rabbit hole that I fell down, and it was quite unexpected. I also mentioned Rachel Sweet, who is Rachel Sweet today is a brilliant television writer, has worked on a million TV shows that you've seen and loved, very respected in the field out here in Los Angeles. I've had the occasion. I've had dinner with her one time, and I'm a fan. But I think a lot of you know Rachel Sweet as she was on Stiff Records when she was 17. She released a bunch of albums. You know, teen singer. She then did The Sweet Life, a sort of early days was it Ha or the Comedy Channel? Pre-Comedy Central, there were two comedy channels. One was called the Comedy Channel, one was called Ha. I think hers was on the Comedy Channel. Same place where like Higgins Boys and Gruber were doing a show. She had a little show. She also did the theme to John Waters' Hairspray and the singing for the film Crybaby. It's Rachel Sweet. She had this whole career as a teenager on Stiff Records. Incredible. My daughter is a fan. I'm a fan. Deb's a fan. I got every Rachel Sweet record. I've got the singles. Got a pretty complete Rachel Sweet discography. While my Dora Hall discography is a little empty, my Rachel Sweet discography is complete. I'm talking picture discs, white vinyl. I'm covered. LPs and cassettes. And every once in a while, I will pop her name into YouTube to see if anything new has been uploaded from the past, you know, like, I don't know. Did Rachel Sweet show up on the Shauna Na variety show? I don't know. Let's check YouTube and find out. What I was not expecting today was to see this. This is a gentleman. And I should say, I'm not making fun of this gentleman. This, you see a little clip of it. In the last 6 months, this has received 270 views. And what it is it's that genre of YouTube video where somebody listens to music, quote, for the first time, unquote, and reacts. And that is, you know, something that is now years old. And, you know, I think there were a couple of kids that did it and it was real. And we found that charming. Really what it was a couple of black kids and they were like listening to Stairway to Heaven for the first time. And they were filming themselves reacting, listening to music. And this people found this charming. So there's been copycats of that. And it's apparently a genre of YouTube video. Never in my wildest dreams did I think there would be a guy named Brad with a YouTube channel, Brad After Dark, who was doing this style of video where you're listening to music and reacting to it. And he decided to react to a music video and song from Rachel Sweet's fourth album on Columbia Records. I don't even know if Stiff was a part of it at that point. But it's Rachel Sweet's final solo LP and her final single, Voodoo. This is a guy reacting to Rachel Sweet.
All right, today I'm checking out Rachel Sweet. I'm listening to the song Voodoo. Let's get into it. That is an interesting set of vocal cords right there. It's got a scent. The voodoo that you do so well. You know what I mean? When I see her, that's just not the voice I imagine. It's so interesting when someone has a certain type of voice. It doesn't matter the type, but just a voice when you look at them, you're like, oh, dang, I did not expect that to come out of you. And now as far as the lyrics go, I thought she was casting the voodoo spell because she's, you know, poking the doll with the needles and all that. And she said, like, a sweet pair of legs, da-da-da-da-da. But I think she's talking about her partner has the voodoo spell, the mind control spell on her. So that's interesting. I thought it would be the other way around. Usually it's the women who have the guy wrapped around their finger. With the voice to me not matching her look, I think what it is she's got like, it's like a grown woman voice, but not like, you know, grown woman like that. Because the voice is still, you know, it's higher pitch. It's got a little, I keep wanting to say twang, but I wouldn't call that a twang, but it's a little voodoo. You know, so that's actually kind of a younger voice. But she looks like a teenager or something. She looks young, but her voice sounds like a grown woman. And so that's what's kind of throwing me off with how she looks versus her voice. But I like that this is not just a typical love song. For love songs, I like the outside of the box just coming from a different angle. Whether you believe in voodoo or not, it doesn't really matter. She probably doesn't believe in voodoo. I think she's just trying to make the point that she's wrapped around somebody's finger. And then that's atypical because usually the girl has the guy wrapped around the finger. We have a phrase for that. It's called pee-whipped. You know, I'm trying to keep it clean, but you guys know the phrase. When you got your boy and he's wrapped around a finger, never wants to hang out anymore, just becomes a yes man. We call that man pee-whipped, okay? That's usually what it is.
Now, I want to say right at the top, I am not making fun of this guy, Brad, and his Brad After Dark YouTube channel. He seems like a nice young guy with his LED lights up in his house, and he's just trying to do YouTube like anybody else. He's, you know, He's trying to break in to the YouTube thing through the genre of I'm listening to this song for the first time. How he landed on Rachel Sweet's Voodoo, I don't know. That's the fascinating thing to me. I would totally understand if he was like even listening to like ZZ Top's Eliminator album, like listening to ZZ Top for the first time. This guy's listening to Rachel Sweet, which is, I don't know. You tell me. It's amusing. I showed it to my wife and she was just, we were just befuddled. We were laughing. What on earth? And he wasn't alone. There were a couple other people that do videos of this genre. They were reacting to Rachel Sweet. Maybe this is going to be, I don't think it's going to be a huge like boost to her back catalog. Because again, in 6 months, as of March 5th, 2024, there's only been 270 views. And the genre itself of video, where, like, first of all, you're cutting your monetization on YouTube. You're cutting into that because I imagine if you're listening to the song and reacting, some of that is going to the copyright holder of the music. Some of that's going to the good folks at, I believe it would be Sony now. They own Columbia Records, Sony Music. So they're taking their chunk. God knows if that gets back to Rachel Sweet. I don't know what her deal is. But in 2024, 2023, with so many other people that have done this style of YouTube video, is it the move? Am I missing out on something? I mean, like, I know I talked about this on this show before, and you can search the Patreon, but I think I did a bit one time where I listened to the Beatles for the first time. I'm befuddled by the genre of video, and I am further befuddled by it being a Rachel Sweet song that 6 months ago, this guy, for whatever reason, decided to react to Rachel Sweet. Now, if it was me doing it, I would totally understand that. It's just like, yeah, Jake, you're a long documented Rachel Sweet fan forever. But Brad, after, hey, however the music gets to you. And maybe that's the moral of this episode. If you are the wife of a plastic cup manufacturer and you can only get your music out to people through the packaging of several solo cups put together, that's a way to go. If you are friends of some people that work in the children's book department at a major publishing house, taking a classic book like Jamberry or Goodnight Moon and saying, hey, why don't you try setting this to music? Or if you are a very established television writer in Los Angeles who in the 1970s had a music career via Stiff Records in the UK and Columbia in the US, maybe your music will be rediscovered by a new audience through YouTube reaction videos. This stuff is out there, people. You just have to go and look for it. And if you can't go and look for it, I guess that's what I'm here for. There's good things out there. Take them in. There are bad things out there too. Avoid them if you can. I don't advocate hate watching. Hate watching something is, you know, look, there are some things where it's just like, I gotta see this. It's so big of a train wreck that you have to, you know, glance at it. But luxuriating in that is time that is, it's time where you're robbing yourself of taking in something good. And God knows we only have so much time on this planet. And it really, we should go into everything wanting it to be the best that it can be. So what I hope you'll take away from this is, I don't know what you should take away from this, but these are the things that were on my mind on March 5th, 2024. I will be back here in a week's time with an entirely new set of thoughts about whatever the most important news affairs are that are going on today. And I know it's March 5th, 2024 when I'm recording and releasing this. We're in an election year. Israel, it's a thing. But to me, nothing is more important than Dora Hull and a guy listening to Rachel Sweet for the first time on YouTube. And that's, in the case of Brad After Dark on YouTube, I do think he was listening to Rachel Sweet for the first time. I don't think it was a scam in an effort to get views. I will speak to you again next week. Thank you so much for supporting this thing here on Patreon. It's been going since August of 2020. Occasionally, I release episodes free. It's called Jake Fullness, free episodes. But there is stuff every week, and there is a ton of bonus stuff that has been going on since August of 2020. For those of you who have been with me every week since then, I really appreciate it. For those of you who are perhaps maybe joining us for the first time, hello and welcome. A plethora of entertainment awaits you if you sign up to the Patreon, www.jake.army. I will see you next week, and Jamberry. Hey, thanks for listening. Fogelness Plus is my podcast platform and streaming video on demand service. Totally listener supported and ad free. You can get my weekly podcast, I Did This First with Jake Fogelness, starting at just $5 a month. There's been a new episode every week since August of 2020, and the show keeps going. After signing up at www.jake.army, you can watch it as a TV show or listen wherever you listen to podcasts. There's also bonus and VIP tiers, which offer even more episodes. For all the info you need, go to www.jake.army and find out how you can support Fogelness Plus on Patreon. Episodes on this feed will come and go, so you don't want to miss anything. Sign up today. www.jake.army.